Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, saints and sinners, you're listening to Dynamite Fallout with your hosts, Chuck Elite and Christian Killjoy. Brought to you by World Generation Podcast Network. And now, Dynamite Fallout.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the premiere episode of Dynamite Fallout. I am Delete, and I have here with me my host, Christian Killjoy. Give it up for Christian Killjoy. Yeah. How are you doing, my man? It's been a while. It's been a while since we've done this, but here we are doing it once again.
Hey, it's been a while, my good friend. It's been a while. Crazy stuff has been happening in wrestling since we've been gone, since we took a little break. Crazy
little
stuff
hiatus,
has happened.
Yes, little hiatus, brother. Little hiatus, but welcome back. And we're here now to discuss Dynamite. Yeah, that's right. Dynamite Fallout, you know, the name of the show, hence we talk Dynamite, AEW Dynamite. And so this night, tonight, the show is on a special time, special night, because we're looking to do the Dynamite Fallout episodes starting each and every Wednesday going forward. Christian Killjoy, you down with that?
Yes, I am down with that, yeah.
Yeah, immediately after the show, we do the you know, the episode, and we talk about it and get it out of the way and move forward. And this week, of course, makes it even better because we have a pay-per-view. And is this like their, you know, quote unquote, if you were comparing it to WrestleMania, was this their WrestleMania if you were comparing them to WWE?
Yes, this is their WrestleMania. This is
their
quote unquote
WrestleMania. They added two matches today, which was a little unexpected. Actually, I kind of thought that they would add the one with you know, Sammy Guevara. Somehow he would get thrown in the mix is what I was thinking. I was not expecting the Darby Allin match, but we'll get into that coming up. But anyway, everybody, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. And without further ado, let's go ahead and get to the Dynamite results from this week. All right, let's catch everybody up on that because, you know, how long has this feud, these feuds have been going for a while now. I know some people aren't on TV right now like as much as they used to be a while back, but this is how they're doing it. They're changing. They have to rotate, you know, the people that they use because they have quite a few people on their roster. And, of course, some of them get pushed back to Rampage, and that's not bad. I mean, I watched it today. First time I've watched Rampage in quite a while.
Yes, but here's the thing, right? All right. This is the exact opposite problem that the other company has, all right, the WWE, right? WWE has no stars left. They have less wrestlers in their company. The opposite problem is that AEW has too many stars where they can't focus on the wrestlers, and that's AEW's one problem right now. They have too many people.
But, I mean, you know, I feel like they can work that out with the amount of shows that they have, especially if they get something going with ROH and if they pick that up off the ground with some TV, you know, contracts or whatever with companies. I don't care who it would be, you know. But if they get that on TV, then they would have more, you know, people would have more access to some of these wrestlers because you're right. I mean, they have too many. Sometimes they get lost in the shuffle. And some of these guys and they deserve to be on TV, but they're not getting that chance because, you know, there's only so much time.
Yeah.
There's only so much time. So that's, you know, that's a problem that they're going to have to deal with. And what do you think about the acquisition of ROH, though, since you brought that up, or since I brought that up? But what do you think about the acquisition of them and how they can play some of their stars into it? Or do you feel like they have to get other people? Or is someone willing to say, hey, you know what, fuck it, I will go to ROH?
Well, if they play their cards right, they can do what WWE is doing and have a brand split, you know? Make ROH a brand of itself. Just like you have Raw and SmackDown, AEW can have AEW Dynamite and ROH Dynamite. You know what I'm saying? Like, have, like, a brand split and draft people.
Interesting. Yeah, and so we'll see how that plays out ultimately because we don't know yet.
And then have Rampage be, like, NXT, so, like, it's between two brands.
Yeah, and then, of course, they have Dark. Is that on Monday?
Dark is exclusively on Mondays, only on YouTube.
And how long does that last?
It lasts like an hour and something. It's
an hour.
During
okay, so...
Raw, but it's just on YouTube. It's not on TV.
Right, kind of like, you know,
Dark
main event, I
Dark,
guess.
Yes, Dark and Elevation are only stories for the C-plus players, like the jobbers and mid-carders. Those storylines happen at Dark and Elevation.
I see. So let's go ahead and chop up the final edition of Dynamite, which was, of course,
yeah.
This week's, yeah, the go-home show to their pay-per-view, Double or Nothing, which is Sunday on pay-per-view, and I'm on the fence about getting it. I really... I'm thinking I want to get it, but I'm not sure yet. But we'll see.
Right.
It'll be a last minute decision, baby. But let's continue.
Okay.
So the show starts off with a steel cage match.
Yes.
Which WWE did a steel cage match, I think it was last week to start out their show or something
was,
like that. I'm not saying they copied them or anything. And I'm not saying they copied them or anything, but it is coincidental. But anyway, This one was a little bit different because this one was going to feature Sean Spears versus Wardlow with MJF as a special referee. And, you know, MJF comes out in his, you know, referee shirt. That's, you know, the what's that pattern he had? The Burberry?
Yeah, it was
the Burberry
it was
pattern
scarf.
And shit. Yeah. And so I'm still trying to figure out why they always have Wardlow in handcuffs. Is it because it doesn't have a contract with them, supposedly, allegedly?
Yes.
Is that what
and
the storyline is?
In storyline, Wardlow still is under contract with MJF, and MJF said that he doesn't have music no more, and he has to come be escorted with security in handcuffs. That's the storyline.
Oh, so these are MJF's stipulations.
Yeah.
And so, of course, MJF... all of a sudden, he has the key, produces the key, and so it gets all fucked up. Wardlow gets out of the cuffs, as always.
Yeah.
He always finds a way to get out of these fucking cuffs. And somehow I feel like I've seen this before.
Well, he doesn't get off the cuffs. He has to let somebody uncuff him.
Well, somehow it always happens, though.
Yeah,
like it happened, I think, the last time I saw him, and then it happened again. Anyway, the whole thing seems like I've seen it before, but it's still a good story. It's still a good story, and I like it, right? MJF is a primetime player, and Wardlow is definitely coming into his own as a fucking power beast. So it's definitely something to enjoy. By the way, Chuck Elite, you know, is the ultimate casual fan. The ultimate casual fan. So, like, I keep up with it, but don't. I get pissed off very easy. I get distracted very easy. But I try. And so, you know, that's how it is, right? So, anyway, we have this fucking match with them. And the winner, of course, is Wardlow. But after the match, right, after the match, Wardlow went on to, you know, hit a power bomb on, or looking to hit a power bomb on MJF, but the security gets in to stop him, and then he's crawling out of the cage to escape. And of course, Wardlow showcases, of course, that was MJF was crawling out of the cage, but Wardlow showcases his strength by taking them all on. And he, you know, he was fucking headbutting them all one by one, or hitting them all one by, I don't remember what it was, but it was devastation.
He was punching, he was clotheslining them all.
One by one, every fucking last one of them. They all walked him to the ring. They walked him to the ring, all that ass shit. And then at the end, they all went down. They were there to do a job, and they did, you know, what they were paid to do. They served it well. So that's what happened with that. Christian, what are your thoughts on that? To me, it feels like I've seen this shit before, but I can't remember where. Something maybe with Batista, but I'm not sure.
Well, this is like Triple H versus Batista. This is the same feud like years ago in 2005, you know. But
was that immediately after Revolution?
It was after when they were teasing the breakup before the Royal Rumble, where Batista. This actually the tease for the breakup started at 2004's Survivor Series, where, you know, and then it built up to the Royal Rumble match where Batista won, and then the whole feud started. But
so I mean,
this
like
one,
this I guess would be in comparison with that, because I mean, look at how long this shit's been going on. They were together, like Batista and Paige were.
Yeah. This
so they were together and shit, and now, yeah, when did it start? Enlighten me.
It started at Revolution when CM Punk beat MJF. That's where it started, where Wardlow gave the ring to CM Punk, and that made MJF lose, and that's when this whole feud started. It started from there.
Yeah. So, what did you think about this?
Obviously, I thought it was a good match. It was a great opener. It proved that Wardlow's a beast. It proved
that
MJF is a cocky son of a bitch. You do know the stipulation for this match, right?
At the pay-per-view?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know there was a stipulation. Enlighten me.
If Wardlow wins, he's out of the contract with MJF. He's a free man.
Oh, well, he's definitely. We'll get into our predictions in a little while. So let's move on then. We have Jericho Appreciation Society, the Wizard. What do you think about the Wizard, first of all?
I'm okay with Jericho calling himself a wizard. It's funny. But, dude, I can't stand 2.0. I'm sorry. They are a downgrade of a faction. I'm sorry. Like,
are these his goons?
Are these
his goons?
Yeah, these are his goons. I'm sorry. Like,
2.0, that's their name?
I could get used to Daniel Garcia because he's actually good. But the other two, I can't stand them. They're obnoxious. I mute the TV every time they talk. I can't stand them.
Bro, we are on the same page. I could pass Danny Garcia, but the other two, they're just like fucking, oh my God. They're worse than fucking, you know, Pete Gass and them. I actually like Pete Gass and them, but these guys are like a fucking cheap knockoff. They're cosplayers of them.
And Jake Hager once again proves that he's the most boringest motherfucker in the group. He does nothing but stand around.
He really does. I mean, you know, Jake Hager's just there. He looks big and badass back there, but then the camera never follows him around. And when they do, he's just standing. Yeah, you're right. He stands around. He does nothing. They should show him in a more dominant light, is what I wish they would do. So they showed them back there walking into the arena and shit like that. And the kid was wearing a John Moxley shirt. Jericho fucking badgered him. They badgered him for a little while, and of course, it ended up with Jericho throwing that fireball in his face because, you know, he's a wizard. And I'm really digging this fucking whole wizard thing. He really thinks he's a fucking wizard. I love it. I love that he's doing that. And I'll tell you what, though, Christian, Killjoy, if I may, I really got to learn how to do that fucking fireball, bro. Do you know how to do that fireball?
No, I think he just holds like something.
It's
got to
be a little machine that he's got, bro. It's got to be a little Hollywood rig he's got up his sleeve or something. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah.
That's fucking killer.
It must be. It must be a paper bomb in his hand.
I don't know what it is, man, but it's fucking cool. It's fucking cool. I dig it. So he's a wizard, and he threw a fireball in the face of some staffer back there.
Yeah.
After badgering him, wearing a John Moxley shirt. But so moving on, we have another big time big deal in the night because it's for the Hangman Page and CM Punk face to face.
Oh. Man, this promo, man, this promo was great on CM Punk's part, but with Adam Page, man, I don't know. I want to hear your opinion on Adam Page's part of the promo because,
well, clearly Adam Page is no CM Punk when it comes to taking the mic, and I mean he can't lace up Punk's boots when it comes to fucking promo skills. Let's just face it. Let's be honest. So having said that, I mean, there was no way that, even the script that they wrote out for him or whatever, his delivery was not good. And that's what holds this guy back, bro, is his fucking, his delivery on his promos, man.
You want my honest opinion, right? Out of all the world champions we've had in AEW right now, between Chris Jericho, John Moxley, Kenny Omega, and him, so far, in my honest opinion, and I think you agree with me on this, he's the weakest of all the world champions. I'm sorry. He's the weakest.
I have to agree with you. And we'll get into our prediction on it, here in a little while. But that was a key segment in the night was, their promo and stuff. And I did like, parts of it and stuff. Just his delivery was not what I felt like it should or could have been. I haven't really been following AEW that much. I started here recently, and he doesn't come around too often. Maybe one segment here and there, I guess. Huh?
Like the whole feud to me just came out of nowhere. Like, for instance, right, Hangman's problem with Punk is that he's an outsider who's trying to take everything from AEW.
And he's going to save AEW from him is what his key words that I got.
Like, why does he suddenly hate CM Punk all of a sudden? Like, it doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I don't know, but I'm going to find out. It seems like, is there a baby face? Is there a fucking turn going on here, a double turn? Like, because to me, Punk was like Punk was the fucking bad guy in the beginning. And now he's looking more like the good guy.
No, but he was the good guy from the beginning because he didn't do anything. It was Hangman Page a few weeks ago got interviewed, and he started talking shit about CM Punk. And then now it led up to this. Like, I don't get where the animosity came from. It came out of nowhere. I think that the reason why they're trying to turn Adam Page heel was because he was getting booed when he faced Adam Cole, because people in that pay-per-view, Revolution, wanted Adam Cole to win.
Yeah. And, I mean, I shit like that happens. If you're, you either give the fans what they want or you don't. And when you don't, they're going to boo you.
I mean, again, when I say he's the weakest champion, is because he's been having these weakest feuds, like these short feuds. Like he's had three world title matches on live television for free. One from Brian Danielson, which was great. Okay, two of them were great, right? But then the other two made no sense, like Lance Archer and then a jobber like Dante Martin. And this is why he was a weak champion,
in my opinion. I saw both of those. And then actually three of the four I saw. The Brian Danielson one, too. I saw that one. Who was the other one that you mentioned?
Dante Martin and Lance Archer.
No. Yeah, those two I saw and Brian Danielson I saw. But who was the other one? John Moxley?
Not John Moxley.
It had four? So we'll see what happens Sunday with these two. And, of course, we have our prediction later. So moving on, we have John Moxley and Eddie Kingston versus, Private Party. And, I'm not really digging any of this. To me, it's like you have some big names that are just being wasted on some bullshit faction. And I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't look right. It doesn't smell right. It doesn't walk right. It doesn't act right.
I mean, the match was good.
At the pay-per-view, I know it's going to be badass, though. It's going to be carnage with John Moxley and Eddie Kingston and them. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of carnage. There's going to be a lot of blood, faces, crimson masks and shit.
The tag match was good. All right, don't get me wrong. I just feel bad for the Private Party because they've been fucked with the fucking Matt Hardy faction and now the Andrade faction. They've been fucked over.
I mean, when Isaiah dropped Moxley in the ring with and the shooting star press and all that shit from the top rope, that was pretty cool.
It was
good stuff. It was good stuff. So, of course, the winners were Eddie Kingston and John Moxley. And then after the match, the fucking Jericho Appreciation Society, they jumped them, But Santana, Ortiz, and Brian Danielson went ahead and came out and made the save. And then there was a big fucking melee in the ring.
Yeah.
Which is, which is how you do it before the pay-per-view is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You see marks on the internet bashing it, and it's just like they're bashing it just because, they like the other company more. They prefer AEW better, WWE better. And so you read these articles and check out the comments and shit, and these fucking marks or smarks or what you call them are in there bashing each other over shit that, if they don't like it, why are they even fucking there to comment on it? It's crazy. That's wrestling fans for you, I guess. You have these other motherfuckers that are out there making people embarrassed to say they're wrestling fans by, trying to fucking message, the wrestlers and having conversations with the wrestlers on Twitter and threatening them and Instagram and all this and fucking that shit. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, those are called psychopaths.
You don't see that in any other sport.
No, you don't.
That's crazy. So, but I digress. So then we have the FTR, who I think I'm hearing word going around that them and Ric Flair are going to do like a last match for, Ric Flair against three other Jamonks.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Stop with Ric Flair, please. Like, come on, man.
I mean, really? Why does he need another match? Nobody wants to see that.
Well, I think because his last match was terrible. You remember his last match was Sting and Impact. That was his last match.
He shouldn't have even had that match.
No, he shouldn't.
You know,
retirement,
he shouldn't have even
bullshit,
had
right?
that fucking match, bro.
Retirement is bullshit. There's no such thing as retirement. They lied to you about retirement. They say they
you
would stay retired, but they don't.
These people that fucking make videos with Ric Flair, Bad Bunny, and fucking that other rapper guy, and all these younger people that admire
yeah.
Ric Flair, and they have every right to admire Ric Flair for all the crazy shit that he did and the life that he lived and shit, if that's what they want, right? But do you think that they remember any of that, that they watched any of that shit he did on fucking TNA?
No.
I think it's highly unlikely.
I mean, we do because, you know, we watch.
Yeah, because we're fans of the whole thing in general. But they don't. There's no way. So, like, they're going to find out about this shit, obviously, because, you know, now they're associated with them. And I bet you they're back somewhere saying, come on, bro. Or, you know, they're not telling Rick that, but, you know, they're telling each other that. Just like we are, bro. I mean, come on, Rick.
It's awful. Yeah.
Come on, Ric Flair.
Stop. Stop it.
I know, man. Damn it. Why does he have to do this, bro? He's just bastardizing his fucking career. This is going to lead to another one later on down the line. You watch.
Yeah, I bet you the reason why, I can't confirm this, but this is my own theory, right? I bet you he was sitting at home and he watched day one of WrestleMania, the main event with Steve Austin, and he said, you know what? If Austin could do it, so can I. But I'm going to do it worse.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's terrible. It's terrible. But I digress. So let's get back to,
FTR was facing the Pudding Club. Because that's what I called them. The worst faction in AEW, you know.
And they are,
the
dude. These are really some fucking jobbers, bro.
No, not FTR, the other guys, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what I mean.
Like, I feel bad for Trent Beretta. He looks like he's in incredible shape. He looks like he's serious. But he's stuck in the worst faction in AEW right now with fucking Orange Cassidy, who's the most boringest motherfucker, and he's the most overrated, boringest motherfucker in that fucking roster. He does nothing. And then you have, you know, it's the worst faction. The match was great, all right? It was good. But, you know, it stops because two ROH people interfered in the match. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it was two ROH people interfered in the match. Is this the one with the Japanese people?
Yes, because they're setting up for the the New
it
Japan
was,
crossover.
Jeff Cobb and Great O'Khan.
Yes,
and it was a good match. It was a good match, and I was digging the fucking match. And then these fucking guys come out, and to me, it ruined the whole fucking thing, bro.
Well, it's
I had no idea who these fucking jabronis are, bro.
It's the setup for the New Japan crossover pay-per-view.
Once I read about that and found out about that, then, you know, I was like, fuck, well, you know, that's business. But at the time,
yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck this shit. And fuck these guys.
They have to set it up eventually. It's coming this month, June.
So I understand. So they'll get the pass on that one, you know, and I understand. But it did look a little bit awkward there. There was it looked like some botching going on in there. Did you see some botching?
What, the attack?
Maybe on the part of Great O'Khan?
Well, you know, it's different languages, different wrestling techniques. This is the first time
there's a little bit of botching in there, but.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's what it was, and that's how that ended. But shit, it was a fucking great match going on up until the end, you know.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, me getting pissed off about it, well, you know, that's just the mark in me. That's just the fucking mark in me, bro. But so let's move on now. So Matt Hardy is saying Matt that they and the Young Bucks have got a lot of similarities from their upbringing.
Yeah.
But the Young Bucks, they would never have survived that, you know, because they're different. You know, they're softer, I guess, is how he's implying.
Boy, yes.
So, but he puts them over as being elite, though. But he says that everyone sees them as, you know, Hardy cosplayers.
Oh, no.
And I fucking heard him say that, bro, and I fucking laughed my ass off, bro.
Well, no. If anything, they're the Rockers cosplayers.
But it was funny. You know what? You're right. That's a damn good point. They are the Rockers cosplayers. That's what he said. I fucking laughed my ass off. And then Jeff comes in and he says that they're in their overprime. They're in their overprime, and this is his clean slate. Because, you know, how many clean slates has Jeff Hardy had? But I digress. He says that, of course, this is the final run, and it will be the best run. But that the Bucks are in their way of becoming champions. But then Matt fucking says, you know, in the case of the Bucks, that they will be disappointed and they could never beat their heroes. So it's a good match. And then, of course, you had tonight on Dynamite with the cosplayers, Young Bucks, responding
Rampage.
Responding by, you know, dressing as, you know, Matt and Jeff Hardy, and coming out as the Hardy Boys. So I thought that was
Gangrel.
Really cool. Yeah, with Gangrel, no less. So I thought that was really cool, man.
Even though it was wrong, Gangrel wasn't managing the Hardy Boys. It was actually, you know, one of the Freebirds, the other guy. So that was wrong.
Right. But still, it was still, you know, a good, you know, a good knockoff of it and a good rib, I guess. I enjoyed it. I actually liked that spot tonight, you know. And so this is a good feud, man. And I'm telling you, this is one of the reasons why I want to rent it or buy it or whatever the fuck is this match. I never fucking thought I would ever... You know, buy a match. This is the first draw for me ever. For me to say that about a Hardy's match, it's like the first time ever in my fucking history of watching. And don't get me wrong, they've had some great matches and shit, but they've just like never been like the big storyline for me, you know. And so, but this time it's cool. And I don't know, we'll see who wins on that. And of course, we're going to call those in the predictions in a little while. So we got Serve Strickland.
Yeah.
Swerve Strickland and Rick versus Ricky Starks versus Jungle Boy, the Pipsqueak, as I call him. And so we had this match. And, oh, yeah, it's always a good match. Swerve Strickland came out on top on this. There was a little shenanigans going on when that happened, though, I think. Wasn't there?
Yeah, all the tag teams were fighting. This triple threat match was just to build momentum for the pay per view. So it was a great match.
Right. And you know, I noticed that as a result of all these great matches that we've been talking about on this episode of Dynamite, which if this is the first one that you tuned into, and by the way, it wasn't the first one I tuned into. I tuned into two of them previous to this in anticipation of, you know, wanting to do this show and starting up this show where we chop up Dynamite and shit. And so I wanted to, you know, get a feel for what the pay-per-view was going to bring about. And I think I got in at a great time because some of this shit came up out of nowhere, it seems. But anyway, this shit with Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee
The limited.
I don't know. They got a lot of steam. They might win, but we're gonna call that in a little while. But yeah, this was a good. It was good. Good TV. Good TV, man. This lasted a good little while, and they gave us some good thrilling moves on this shit. What about Keith Lee? What do you think about his weight still?
I think he's the most overrated guy. It's nothing about his weight, but he's still slow, and he's still boring to me. I'm sorry. The guy still cuts promos like he's slow, like he's too slow with it. He's so boring. I'm sorry. He's overrated to me.
Keith Lee. So yeah. Well, you know, I enjoy his promo work, but he does have to work on himself, I think. I would like to see him. I think it would be better for him, actually, if he worked, you know, on himself, his body and shit, and his physical appearance, and like, I think he would be more of a monster-like guy if he got into some better shape. But I digress. But we're gonna make our call, our picks to see who's gonna win that in a little while. So let's move on right now to. Let's see, what happened next, man? Fucking Death Triangle.
The women's tournament.
I forgot to say that the... I'm on the wrong page here. Hold on. Where the hell? It was the women's shit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we had a bunch of stuff with Dan Lambert, Tony Schiavone. He brought Thunder Rosa out. And, you know,
Thunder
that...
Rosa.
Yeah, that was not, you know, really worthy. Then, of course, there was a bunch of stuff. Britt Baker and Toni Storm came out for their match. Last week when you had Toni Storm come out at the very end and, you know, had that stare down with Britt Baker. You know, she's got a good look and everything, but it seemed to me like I couldn't see her confidence. I could not find that confidence in her, bro.
You want to know why? Because she knew that she was going to get buried by Britt Baker, and that's exactly what happened. I'm sorry, I can't get with it with Britt Baker. She's becoming like Charlotte now at this point where she's burying people. She just had a title reign. And now she's probably going to win this tournament. She doesn't need to win this tournament. She had a title reign, people. Like, come on. So, yeah, the match was good, but, you know, the results sucked. Toni should have won it. I'm just sick of Britt Baker at this point. She's becoming too much like Charlotte.
They did put on a good match. And, that look from last week, it said it all. And, you know, you talk about the predictability of this. But let me tell you something, my friend. I had picked the semifinals. I had picked the quarterfinals and the semifinals of this tournament all to a T. You know how I told you I've been watching it for 3 weeks now? So in my head, I've been making the picks, you know, for the quarterfinals and for the fucking semis. And so here we are at the finals. And coming up in a little while, you're going to hear my predictions for the finals, and we'll see if I get through with a clean fucking break on that. But we're going to find that out later. But, yeah, you know, Toni Storm came out last week, and like I said, she didn't look like she was going to – like she had the confidence in her, and obviously that's what happened. You know, she got buried just like you said, and so it's going to be Britt Baker moving on. So then we had Samoa Joe, and by the way, yeah, you're right. It was a great match, though. They did put on a good match. Samoa Joe versus Kyle O'Reilly. Again, another predictable match for the semifinal.
It was good. Great match, yeah.
Yeah, not to take away from the match itself, man. They had better ratings this week. All these great matches that they had this week. And you know what? I got to say, this week was a lot better for AEW because some of these fucking matches that they have, they feature like no people that I don't even know. And it's like, you know who's going to lose and you know who's going to win. You just know it. And so, you know, it used to be like that when I was growing up. The matches would be like that all the time. All right? All the time. When I was young, the matches were always like that. And then WWE introduced the new product and shit, you know, in the 90s and shit, where they started, you know, giving you a bit more action and shit like that. And it's more fighting style instead of wrestling style and all that type of shit. And now the characters are so blurred as far as that who's heel and who's face and all that type of shit, that the whole thing is like, it's a lot different. It's a lot different now. But I still enjoy watching it. But when you have that level of predictability, it makes it boring again, like it used to be back in the days. Back in the days of fucking Harley Race and shit like that. And I'm not saying Harley Race was, you know, bad or anything like that, you know, when he was NWA champion and shit. I'm not saying that. But, you know, wrestling was different back then. Didn't have the level of excitement that it does now. And so, but when you put these people that are like nobodies, absolute nobodies, against someone that's like a big star, and then you put so much time into the match too, these are like fucking 15-minute matches and shit that they're having. And I don't like that, but that's part of my beef with AEW that I have. But I digress. Like I said, I'm still the ultimate casual fan. So, yeah, this was a great match between Kyle O'Reilly and Samoa Joe. But, you know, it was obvious that Samoa Joe was going to win. And eventually he did.
Yeah.
So that was AEW Dynamite. Christian, what did you think about that episode and how it elevated the pay-per-view going forward? We saw we didn't see Jade Cargill.
Well, that's because she only does, like, TBS, Rampage, and all that.
We didn't see House of Black in them.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Not everybody, you know, a two-hour show can make it in a go-home show.
Right,
so.
And that's okay that we didn't see them. I mean, we didn't see Sammy Guevara either, I don't think. Let's move on. What did you think about the show itself? I thought it was a great show. It was a lot better than it had been since I've been watching.
I thought it was a fantastic go-home show to set up the pay-per-view. And, yeah, a certain company needs to learn how to do go-home shows like this because their go-home shows fucking suck.
Yeah, there you go. So certain companies need to learn how to do you're talking about, obviously, WWE.
So
I thought this show was a lot better than, you know, the previous shows that I had seen. And so I'm still on the fence about buying the pay-per-view, but they included two new matches tonight. And I mean, that just might put me over the fence. But we'll have to see. So let's take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to, get into the predictions. How about that, Christian? You ready to do some predictions?
All right, that's fine.
Yeah, because I need to, you're going to have to describe some of this shit to me as I may have some questions going forward. So we're going to come back on the other side of this break and do predictions. So stay where you're at. We'll be right back. Dynamite Fallout.
Tell us.
Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
Welcome back, welcome back. Dynamite Fallout on the World Generation Podcast Network with Chuck Elite and Christian Killjoy. We are catching you up on all the latest madness that is All Elite Wrestling. Christian, when you got the call that this show was coming, did you believe it?
Yes, I did.
You did, huh? Did you get excited about it?
Yes, I did get excited about it, yes.
Good. Yeah, I did, too. When I got the call, I was excited about it, too. I was like, shit, it's going to be a good deal. It's going to be a good deal. We're gonna get going. Soon, we will be at the top of our game, baby. So all you other podcasts out there, you watch your asses because we're coming, baby. That's right. So moving on, we got predictions going on. Do you have the card in front of you?
Yes, I do have the card.
You have the card in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Do you want to handle the predictions or do you want me to do them?
You could do the predictions.
All right. So you're going to keep record of them?
Yes.
Please?
Yeah.
Please, since I don't have a pen and paper close by.
Yeah.
So let's move on then with the predictions for AEW Double or Nothing. And this, folks, if you're a casual like myself, looking to get away from, you know, the big kahuna, as they say, the big E, looking for the alternatives out there, and you're trying to expand, you know, listen to this, all right? So we have 13 matches on the card, and, well, 12 matches, but we have the opener, which they call the buy-in. And it's going to be Hookhausen, which is Hook and Danhausen, which I've not seen this Hook yet. I've seen him wrestle.
Danhausen.
Seen him speak.
Danhausen.
Danhausen, okay. And but I haven't seen him speak. I've seen him wrestle, but I haven't seen him speak. Danhausen, I've been informed. I've been saying Danhausen this whole time. I've seen him. I've seen skits of him. That's going to be him versus Tony Ness or Niece, Tony, whatever.
Tony, yeah.
And Smart Mark Sterling. And I'm going to go on a limb here and say that Hookhausen win this match.
Me too. I'm picking Hookhausen because Mark Sterling is a fucking manager, and it doesn't make sense for his team to win. So, yeah, Hookhausen.
Yeah, he's no Dan Lambert. He's no Dan Lambert. So, yeah. Next up, we have, you know, what I think is going to be the opener of the night.
Yeah.
Jade Cargill, champion, TBS champion, versus Anna Jay in a singles match for the AEW TBS championship.
Let's not waste our time. We're going to pick Jade because Jade's undefeated, and Anna Jay lost to her already, so she's going to lose it again. So
I don't even know who
Jade.
Anna Jay is, bro. So, yeah, you're right. Put me down.
Okay.
The House of Black, and this, of course, is Malakai Black, Buddy Matthews, and Brody King versus Death Triangle. And this is that bastard Pac, Penta Oscuro, and Rey Fénix in a six-man tag team match.
All right. So throughout this entire feud, the House of Black has been dominating these people, all right? I think it's finally time that Death Triangle is finally going to get a win out of the House of Black. So I'm picking the Death Triangle.
Wow. The baby faces.
Yes. It doesn't hurt House of Black to lose one match, so.
I see it the same way. Mr. Killjoy, I see it the same way. Put me down for the Death Triangle.
Okay.
The Hardys, Matt and Jeff Hardy, versus the Young Bucks, Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson.
All right.
In a tag team match.
All right, so this is like, the Young Bucks don't need this win because, again, this is the Hardys' final run, right? Obviously, the Young Bucks doesn't need the win. If this is the Hardys' final run, and if they are going for the tag titles, you need to make them look serious. So I'm going to pick the Hardy Boys to beat the Young Bucks.
I have to pick the Hardy Boys as well because, you know, you're absolutely right when you say that the Young Bucks don't need this. So it seems like they're trying to put the Hardys over. They probably grew up as fans of them. So I could see them definitely wanting to do this. And I bet they're probably having a great time with this. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Hardys.
All right.
Jericho Appreciation Society which is Chris Jericho, Matt Menard, Angelo Parker, Daniel
Awful.
Garcia, and Jack Hager versus Eddie Kingston, Santana Ortiz, and the Blackpool Combat Club.
All
which
right.
is,
well, this is
Brian
no-
Danielson and John Moxley, of course.
Yeah. So this is a no-brainer. John Moxley's team is winning.
Yes.
The only reason
there's
why
no
Jericho
other
needs
way
to win these matches. So, no. John Moxley's team is winning. So I'm just going to put the Blackpool Combat Club as
as all of them.
I'm going to put it as PPCC for short. So.
Yes. Yeah, they're winning. The Blackpool Combat Club is winning. I don't know. Is this going to continue as a feud? I don't think so. Or is it going to drag out?
No, I hope not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. They got to move on from this. I guess they'll move on to Jurassic Express or some shit. Who knows? He's the wizard now. MJF versus Wardlow.
Again,
to me, it's obvious that
it's
Wardlow
obvious.
Is winning.
Yeah, we're going to put Wardlow.
Yeah.
There you go. Next.
By the way, we haven't spoken about this, you know. This isn't a magic trick or anything, but really, we haven't spoken. We're just in agreement because that's how we see it.
Yeah,
So let's move on with the Dr. Britt DMD versus Ruby Soho.
Oh, that's easy. Britt Baker's going to win.
Oh, man, I had a feeling you were going to say that, and I'm going to say that as well. That's who I call to win. And we might as well get to the mail because I also picked that Adam Cole was going to win that too.
Yeah, because Jay Lethal is going to fuck over Samoa Joe, so.
I didn't know about that. But thanks for the spoiler. I'll be sure to look out for it. But yeah. I just feel like Adam Cole is going to win that somehow, some way. Britt Baker is going to win that somehow, some way. And so that's how that's going to go down. We have the Jurassic Express, Christian.
Yeah.
Of course, that's Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus Team Taz. Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs versus Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. What say you, Christian?
I think Team Taz is going to win because I think Christian's going to fuck them over. They've been teasing Christian turning heel, so I think they're going to fuck him over. I think he's going to fuck Jungle Express over.
And if he does that, I think it's going to be Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland that come out victorious somehow.
Okay, so who are you picking?
Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland.
Okay.
And you got Team Taz?
Yeah.
All right, so that's where we differ. All right, so let's move along. Thunder Rosa versus Serena Deeb. And, man, bro, I got to comment on this for a little bit. So Serena Deeb's promos, they're written very well. They're written very, very well because when you read them, when you fucking read her promos, you know, how they write them up, you know, yeah, they sound fucking fantastic. But when you hear her say them, yeah, when you hear her say them, it's fucking a totally different story, bro.
She's atrocious.
She cannot be champion.
She's a great wrestler, so I'm picking Thunder Rosa.
I am too, brother.
Even though she's just as terrible as cutting promos as Serena?
It's not good either, bro. It's not good either. I wouldn't say she's just as terrible, but it's not much better, in my opinion. But yeah, bro, they got some work to do on this women's division at AEW.
Up next we have Kyle O'Reilly versus Darby Allin. That's one of the new matches that just got added. I'm going to pick Darby Allin because they need to throw this fucker a fucking bone. Ever since he lost to CM Punk, he's been in the fucking shitter. I am sorry. I'm picking Darby Allin.
I got to go with Darby Allin too. Just because, yeah, you're right. It's not. It's like, lately, where have you been lately? So, yeah, I definitely got to go with Darby Allin on that.
Then
Sammy
another
Guevara,
match that was added.
Yeah, and Sammy Guevara, Frankie Kazarian, and Tay Conti. Scorpio Sky.
Versus
Ethan Page and Paige Van Zandt.
I'm gonna pick Paige Van Zandt's team because this is her first match, and they're not gonna have her lose her first match in a 6-person match. So I'm gonna pick her team to win. So I guess they will qualify as America's top team. So ATT for short.
That's
your
Dan, what's his name's team?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with them.
Okay, ATT.
Yes.
Okay.
America's top team. And then
the final match.
The final match, brother. A singles match for the AEW World Championship. I notice it doesn't have heavyweight in there.
Oh,
you think they did that intentionally? You think they did that intentionally because they don't have heavyweights? Or,
I mean, they do,
or
have
because
the
they have very
they
few
have
heavyweights now?
Yeah, they do have a heavyweight in Keith Lee.
They have very few heavyweights, though. But anyway, I digress. The AEW World Championship. Hangman Page as your champion versus the challenger, CM Punk.
I'm picking CM Punk because I think this Hangman Page's time as champion has to come to an end. It's ran its course. It's time for CM Punk.
I'm picking CM Punk because I don't know about Hangman Page's time, if it's run to a course or anything like that, but I am quite certain. I'm going on a hunch here, a hypothesis, which is an educated guess, okay? A hypothesis. I'm going on that. But because, see, in all my years of watching fucking wrestling and shit, and I know how this shit works, CM Punk got in there, and it was certain that he wasn't going to come in and fucking blazing guns as champion right away, because that would be a bad fucking look, okay? That's not what this promotion is about, and that's not a good thing to do, honestly. You're Christian, and?
And I'll also give you another reason why I picked CM Punk, because the New Japan show is at Chicago. And who better to be world champion than CM Punk?
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Great job there. Great job there, brother. And so, you know, it was in his contract to begin with, you will be world champion, you know, within a year or whatever. We just got to fucking go through the phases. And, you know, and you will be champion. And that's what we're going to do. And so this is them honoring their commitment to CM Punk in the contract. And it's up to CM Punk to see if he's going to deliver. And, you know, we'll see. I think, you know, he will. Why wouldn't he? As long as they get him the right challengers. And they have a roster stacked with people, so they could, I'm sure they could find a way to make it work out. But that, of course, remains to be seen as they are going into year four, right? They've had 3 years now, right?
Yeah, this is the three-year anniversary, yeah.
So, yeah, they're looking to go to year four. So they are in their third-year anniversary, and they're looking to go to year four. And so, yeah, man, this is going to be where they start tugging at WWE and the ratings and shit, I think.
Yeah.
Moving forward from here.
So that's all for the predictions. We got every match.
So, yeah, that's it for the predictions. And Christian, we still got a little bit of time left. Is there anything else you want to go over?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's tune it out, yeah.
Yeah, we'll kill it out then. Man, well, I had a great time tonight. You know, this is what we're going to be doing. We're going to be going through the matches. You know, I don't know if we're going to do it. We'll talk about it. I put you on the spot there saying that it was going to be immediately after. We'll talk about that in private, and then, you know,
We'll just do it at 11 my time after the show, because then it'll give us an hour to prepare.
All right. So we'll do that. And, yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
And we'll do a Fallout episode where we're going to chop it up and discuss the episode. And then whenever there's a pay-per-view, we'll stay a little longer and we'll do predictions. And that's how we'll do it. Dynamite Fallout each and every Wednesday, 10 o'clock Eastern. No, wait a minute. 11 o'clock Eastern, right?
Yeah.
10 o'clock Central. So, yeah, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central Standard Time. And that's Dynamite Fallout right here on the World Generation Podcast Network, which is on blogtalkradio.com/World Generation Podcast Network. So, yeah, thank you for joining us. Christian, close yourself out, my brother.
All right. Good night, you all. Good night, everybody. Join us next Wednesday, motherfuckers, where we reveal the predictions for the pay-per-view. And, yeah,
right.
Tune in, motherfuckers. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, Christian Killjoy. Well, all right. I am Chuck Elite, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us today and throughout the week as you do so. Tune in each and every week right after Dynamite, AEW Dynamite, for your Fallout episodes with myself, Chuck Elite, and Christian Killjoy. So until next time, we will see you again. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.